And welcome to CNET Book Club. I'm Dan Ackerman.
I'm Scott Stein.
And we've talked to a lot of serious authors about serious books over the last year and a half. Walter Mosley, Jaron Lanier, Jeff Vandermeer.
Yep.
But we thought it'd be fun for the holiday season to show you some fun books you can get as gifts that are actual physical books that just don't work as ebooks, not available as ebooks.
These are books from our own collection. This is stuff like I got two big bookshelves put into my living room, and these are some of these I've had for years, some of them I just bought, and they're ones that I don't want on a Kindle.
A lot of times they're constructed to be read because they have different typefaces. They do a lot of like, they literally put things into the book physically. Mm-hmm. There's some things you just can't recreate. Even simple illustrations don't read well on the Kindle. It doesn't have a good way to resolve it.
Yeah, it's not a good way to go. In fact, you know, if you see a visual book that's on a Kindle sale, you'll see if you download one that usually the layout gets messed up. So FYI, if you're giving that as a gift to someone. So go with the physical book. Keep the Kindle for the pure text.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to start off. We're going to show off some books here. This is one I got very recently that I'm pretty excited about. This is Art and Arcania. It's a big visual history of Dungeons and Dragons. And it really goes all the way back in time and has a lot of really fantastic art, like early advertisements and things like that from the game, and gives you a lot of backstory about Gary Gygax and how it was created. And eventually it goes into things that, like, I remember from when I was a kid, like those great like Dungeon Master guides, illustrations and things like that.
And it's like a total flashback.
Oh yeah, it's just basically just flashback after flashback. And if you grew up with any of this stuff, you will remember this. Oh, look at these books and ads and things like that. A lot about metal miniatures. Did you ever paint metal miniatures, Scott, or collect them?
Nope, I never did. Although I was very interested in them, but I was the abstract board game and sleight of hand magic person. That's sort of like, I danced around that, but I'm now getting into Dungeons and Dragons.
See, I had the map tiles, and I had little figures, I would paint them. They were all made of lead back then.
Yeah.
So,
pewtery, yeah. Anyway.
Now we just 3D print them. Anyway, this is usually around $50, and Scott said he's seen it on sale.
Yeah, so this thing too, with a lot of these physical books, like check out, see if they're on sale. A lot of places you can get them on deals, especially this time of year.
Amazon is discounting a lot of these books. I just looked a bunch of them up.
Yeah, like at a lot of bookstores are offering like 10-20% discounts. So like, you know, forget list price. Like a lot of times you can get some discount.
Now I'm going to give you a little fun fact about this. Number one, the intro is written by Joe Mangiello, who's the actor who's like the werewolf on True Blood, and you've seen him in a bunch of other things. And one of the three co-authors is Sam Witwer, who's an actor who was in a couple of Star Wars games and also in the American version of that vampire and werewolf and ghost live together show, the name of which escapes me, Being Human.
Why them?
He was the vampire in the American version of Being Human, and he is a co-author on this Dungeons and Dragons book.
That's like fast. That's unusual. But yeah, that's like a great coffee table book. And speaking of D&D, and then we'll get our D&D out of the system. I've my kid who's 10 has been getting interested in Dungeons and Dragons, and I never played Dungeons and Dragons growing up more than like an hour, and I suddenly became interested. The Dungeon Master's Guide.
There it is. The real deal.
This is the 5th edition. Now, I've seen this on sale a lot over Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and even now. So shop around, see if you can. It's like list price $50, but you can get it for less than that. And it's awesome. I mean, I got this, the Player's Guide, and the Monster Manual, which is still around.
They have not changed the name of those since I was a kid. Having retired from the game in the 6th grade, that's the same books that we had. The covers were different.
So I had the Monster Manual because I love the idea of all these monsters in a book. And I had Fiend Folio and I had Monster Manual 2. But now I just got the Monster Manual. There are other books too. But the layout's fantastic. If you're interested in learning about the lore, and it also kind of doubles as a coffee table book.
Yeah, it's
book.
A coffee table art book, even if you're not.
And this is a little more list heavy, but there's definitely a lot of really cool illustrations.
If you're really playing the game, you're probably using an app.
Yes, we've talked about that. A lot of people use apps, but I still like the idea of poring over a book, keeping it on a shelf, and it's got a really nice feel. So anyway, I treated myself to that, and I got more of those coming for my kid. He doesn't know it yet.
Nice, nice. All right, Scott, I'm going to give you now one that is new to me, but you apparently knew about ahead of time.
I knew, but haven't
years.
Read it. It's like my second
House
infinite chest.
House of Leaves by Mark Danielewski, and it is apparently a cult favorite from the early 2000s, I think. And even though it looks like a regular book, inside there's a ton of interesting typography. There's all sorts of like writing in the margins. There's like weird page layouts. There's two sets of footnotes written in different fonts, so you can tell which person is writing the footnotes to this, because it's about a person writing about a person who wrote about another person who wrote about like a cult movie that no one can find, about some other guy who discovered like a hallway in his house that doesn't seem to structurally belong in the house. And that's only the most top level of it. It's just a weird nightmarish dreamscape. It's very David Lynchian.
So I had a copy of House of Leaves years ago. In one of my many moves, I got rid of it because I just thought I would never read it. Now I want to read it again. I'm going to have to probably get another copy.
But yeah, there's actual color photographs in here of things.
Yeah, it's a really
stuff
cool.
That would never work on a Kindle. It's not available as an ebook.
Yeah.
I actually had to go to the Strand to get this copy, which cost me $18.
I was a fool for getting rid of my... That might be my copy, for all I know. You might have picked up the copy.
Property of Scott Est. Wow.
Right, I left a little mark in the margin.
I'll tell you, I really just started this, and I am just blown away by it. Just the first chapter or two, very unsettling. If you like kind of weird fiction with slightly supernatural, but you don't really know what's going on overtones, House of Leaves.
And Mark Z. Danielewski also has started releasing this series of books. I think it's like based on all 26 letters of the alphabet. So there are these massive, again, visual tomes with all sorts of puzzly text. And I bought on a Kindle and was very disappointed that I bought it on a Kindle.
Oh.
But it was on Kindle sales, so it was like $1.99, and I took a leap onto it. But if you're also interested, that's out there too, by that author. So I'll pick this up. This is a book that I picked up when I was interested in game design and game theory. There's a newer version than this one, but Raph Koster, who is a really acclaimed thinker, game designer, worked on Ultima Online. This is a theory of fun for game design. What's really cool about this book is not only is it about the basic theory of games and theories of fun, but half of it is text and half of it is a comic. And so every page, you're kind of getting two parallel stories as you, it's not like a comic book, but they're comic-like illustrations to tell a parallel tale to what's going on in the text here. So something like this is really meant to give you ideas as you flip through it, think about it. I started showing it to my kids, and I think it's fun because you kind of think outside the box with gaming, and it's just a really fun read. It kind of almost reminds me of another great book that I didn't bring in is The Understanding Comics Trilogy by Scott McCloud,
which those are great.
Remains amazing. He has that, Making Comics, Reinventing Comics. Yeah. This has almost a feel of that.
Definitely you don't need to be in the industry to appreciate it. Like
exactly.
The Scott McCloud books, they just tell you good visual storytelling that will help you in a lot of fields.
Yeah, you're getting sort of like a fundamental understanding of maybe the cognitive elements of what makes gaming fun. So, great book, and there's a newer version than this. You get a newer edition.
Yeah, I've seen the new cover.
Yeah. So
you know what makes gaming fun, Scott? Loot boxes. Lots and lots of loot boxes.
Yes. Give some loot boxes for the holidays.
Okay, here's a crazy one.
I've wanted to get this.
It has
book.
This cool vintage look. It's called Ship of Theseus, and it is by J.J. Abrams and an author named Doug Dorst. But it looks like inside this slipcover, an old book that you would get from the library. It's got the little library tag on it here on the side. And there's a story in the book, but there are basically two people who have taken this book out of the library, and they keep writing each other notes in the margins of the book. And they also like insert little postcards and little flyers. So this is all part of the book. Obviously, you can never do this. Look, there's a whole letter in here, a handwritten
That's
letter
super cool.
You have to read. There's much more text outside of the story than inside. Newspaper clippings.
The pages are perfectly yellowed around the
edges.
The pages
have a great aging to them.
Yeah, it looks very authentic.
So you basically have the story of the book, and then this other story that's happening in the background. I have not gotten very far in this, but someday I will get back to it. But it's a fantastic looking book, and it would look great anywhere. It is, I think I saw it on Amazon for like $20. When it came out, it was like $40.
That almost reminds me of it gives me a feel of the Griffin and Sabina books. Those books that had little letters that you would open, and it was this ongoing tale.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Nick Bantock, I can't believe I remembered that. He had a number of books that were like that with little puzzles, and Nick Bantock also, talk about a used book to pick up, had this puzzle book called The Egyptian Jukebox that I've got on my shelf, which is a great visual puzzle book. I didn't bring visual puzzle books, but I brought other types of books. I'm looking for a good visual puzzle book that needs to be made in 2019. I'm going to write to Simon Stallenhag. Simon Stallenhag's been a book superstar lately. I think a lot of people, Jeff Bacalar turned me on to his art and his work. He has had two other books, third one came out now called The Electric State. I think you should get all of them. But The Electric State, what's cool is that these books, not only are they gorgeous, they explore these dystopic Swedish worlds that take place in the past but feel like the future. So this is like an alternate 90s where there's been some apocalyptic, cataclysmic virtual reality game that people were playing. There's a lot of ruins. There's a lot of mystery. These incredible paintings, along with the storyline, you just flip through it like an incredible art book. I mean, it's definitely on the more mature side, but I think anyone would enjoy it. The paintings are amazing. Again, it's not like this at all, but it kind of reminds me of Dinotopia in the sense that there's this like unfolding, amazing story that's told through art. His other two books are great. This is a purely art book. You would only ever want to get this in physical form. Mm-hmm. No regrets purchase. I feel like these books, I don't always read all the way through. I like to flip through them.
But to have them, you can go back to them.
Yeah, you get ideas and you become very inspired. But I love the ruins in this book.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you one now, Scott, that's brand new. It's a show that we all know and love, Stranger Things.
Oh, nice.
And they've done a book like about the show, but in an 80s style. So it looks like a weathered old book. It's got that plastic cover on it like you would get at the library or from school. It's got a little used bookstore price tag on it that says it's in fair condition, which
it
is.
I thought this was a used book when I saw it like randomly nearby.
There was even a note on the outer wrap saying, don't panic, the book is supposed to look like this. And inside, look, it's got some water stains on the inside. It's really like really nicely aged. And there's a lot of really great art inside, besides the usual behind-the-scenes stuff. And obviously, you can't get that on a Kindle.
Yeah.
And it's really a good mix of, like, about the people who made the show, about the actors who were on the show, behind-the-scenes stuff, pages from, biographies and all kinds of stuff like this. So I thought this was really well done. And if you're a fan of the show, it's certainly a good pickup, and I think this was, I saw it on Amazon for $16, down from the usual $36.
Okay.
So good call there.
A book that I did not bring in, but I would also recommend, I'm going to talk about books I didn't bring in, because it's gigantic.
That's the meta podcast within the podcast.
Right. Look up this book, because it's the best weird giant art book you could ever get, and it's been around for years, got re-released a couple of years ago, Codex Serafinianus.
Oh, yes.
It is.
Oh, why didn't you bring that in?
Because it's gigantic, because it wouldn't even fit in my backpack. It's expensive. I think it's like $80. It's just this beautiful, it's more like a Toshin type book and the pages are well textured. It's written in gibberish or supposedly gibberish, or maybe it's another language. It was created as this spin-off of the Voynich manuscript, maybe like a commentary on it. It's very bizarre, surreal pictures of people doing all sorts of things, alien evolving stuff. It just feels like a text that got downloaded out of another dimension, but that's a great one. Speaking of other dimensions, Jeff Vandermeer.
Our friend Jeff,
who, his books are fantastic. He has a book which you have to get in physical form. You can also get it in digital, but get it in physical. It's one of the best writing books out there for anyone who wants to think about writing or dream of other worlds, called Wonder Book. This is the previous edition that I bought. He has a new edition.
I've seen that.
With, I think, 60 pages of new stuff. First of all, it's fantastically laid out and, you know, all sorts of really cool maps and interesting flow charts and visuals and inspiring paintings, weird ads and things. But it's a book on writing and creating. And he has, it feels like, dozens of cameos from famous authors. I think Neil Gaiman's in here, Charles Yu, Lev Grossman, George R. R. Martin, Ursula K. Le Guin. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. Karen Lord. So Kim Stanley, I'm just going to keep on. But anyway, they all have thoughts about writing. So it's like not just him. It's like a greatest hits of other people thinking. So it's just it's a great book on a lot of levels. And it doesn't even cost that much. I think it was like $20. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So
I'm adding the new version of this to my wish list because I don't have a copy of this.
Oh, you don't? Oh,
no.
You have to get this.
Yeah,
this
totally.
I kind of want to get the new version, mm-hmm. even though I have this version, because I think it's wonderful. So
that's awesome. Wonderful. And of course, Jeff Vandermeer was our very first book club guest.
He was our very first. And now, Annihilation and Born and all that other stuff. So he's got another one coming
out. Yeah.
So
fantastic.
Yeah.
Speaking of cool books, here's a book about cool books by another cool author who also writes cool books. The author is Grady Hendrix, and he's got another new book out called We Sold Our Souls. But this is his nonfiction work, Paperbacks from Hell. And it is a study of 1970s and 80s pulp paperbacks, horror fiction, things like that. And you will find all of these fantastic book covers in here. And he talks about them and the origins of them and the different weird authors, some of whom, you know, were never seen again, some of whom went on to become very famous. And it's just, once again, you have to see these book covers in real time because they are just fantastic. Like, here's all the knockoffs of, like, Rosemary's Baby, where everyone's got a demon baby. All the demon baby books are in one chapter.
That's pretty great.
And all the you know, vampire books.
Here's
the Sentinel.
One.
Let's see what the screaming is.
All the screaming people. That,
oh,
I feel like that
man.
Came. I remember that.
These are about the religious horror books. Legion, Dark Angel, Unholy Communion. So those are all collected. And this is really, really fun to flip through if you like kitschy 70s, 80s book culture. And they don't make book covers like this anymore. Like, I still go to the Strand and I look through the paperback, the old paperback rack, and try to find cool stuff just to have it because it looks so awesome. And Grady Hendrix also wrote this other book that just came out, a fiction book called We Sold Our Souls, about a rock band that apparently sells its soul to the devil in exchange for success. And it's a good, creepy, music-tinged thriller.
Well, maybe because of that and everyone getting into this, they need to make more books with covers like that.
Oh, yes.
It's bound to happen. Stranger Things and all that stuff.
That retro style, now everything, well, Kindle books don't have covers, really. Just like we lost album art by going to digital music, we've lost book cover art by going to Kindles.
What kills me is when the digital book cover art suddenly changes.
Oh, right?
So,
yes.
Like, you know, all of a sudden, overnight, my book looks different and it throws me off. So, I'm going to go to a topic that I've also been really obsessed with after virtual reality, which is immersive theater. Now, you may not be aware of what immersive theater is, or maybe you are, which is the, you know, site-specific, transformative things. If you've seen Sleep No More, if you've seen Then She Fell in New York, things that are defy explanation and often will expand beyond normal spaces. Well, this group called, as I got deeper into the immersive theater world, as you're collecting some books, this group called Odyssey Works has been exploring a very particular type of experience, which they call like immersive experiences for one. Completely crazy, almost like the game. Handcrafted things that just happen to one person, where everything around them changes. They know they're part of it, but it's more artistic. And these worlds, and so this group, Odyssey Works, you can't experience those things really because they cost a crazy amount and they usually don't happen to that many people. But they decided to create this really cool art book published by Princeton Architectural Press that is discusses their methods and their art and has an interview with Rick Moody, who I think experienced one of these. So, again, crazy charts, interesting flow charts.
A lot of visual storytelling.
Visuals, talking about the art, what it means to create their immersion. Yeah. It's a book that you'd want to flip through and think about.
See a lot of playing with the typography and the color of the text, which, again, you can't do on a Kindle.
Exactly. So it is, it's fascinating if you want to think about art differently, if you want to think about if you're interested in VR, if you're interested in things like future tech and you want to think about what it means to create something that's immersive or AR, this might be a really cool book to pick up or pick up for someone who's into that.
Nice. Now, for someone who's into more traditional visual storytelling, like, I don't know, Star Wars, there's this new book called Creatures and Aliens, and I'm showing it to you for two reasons. One, my 7-year-old was fascinated with this because it's not just a standard, you know, photo book of stuff. It's actually, again, has all this almost 3D stuff in it where, yes, it has all these, you can look through all these, like, drawings. You can pull stuff out of, like, concept drawings of different characters.
Okay.
Chewbacca, there's more Chewbacca. And there's a lot of like little flip things that open up. So it's like look, there's Peter Mayhew and there's Chewbacca.
I've never seen Peter Mayhew before.
Now you have.
Young Peter Mayhew.
Oh, this is great. This little mini book inside of Ewok sketches. And it's like several pages, just like this. So it's a book, it's several books within a book, and it's that same playful sort of, you know, let's shove a bunch of stuff inside of here. And look at early concept drawings of Jar Jar.
Were they all?
He didn't get any better.
Duck-billed?
Yeah, looks like it. So I thought this was really cool.
This is new,
$29, Creatures and Aliens. And I really love that they've done more than just a standard art book, have all these little pullouts and extras. And then, Scott, I have a bonus for you. Yeah. This is the book that I mentioned to you briefly. I don't know if I've shown it to you
yet. I hate that you have this book. I want this book very badly. I am very envious about this
Giraffes
book.
On yeah. Horseback Salad, which is a graphic novel that recreates the lost script that Salvador Dali wrote for the Marx Brothers. It was actually never even a full script. He did a treatment and maybe a few pages.
It's bananas.
And some guy went around and tracked down as much information as he could about this never made movie, and finally got, you know, all the treatments and everything, and basically wrote a script around it. And he got that guy Tim Heidecker, who does
He's fantastic. Oh, well, it's him and Eric.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's done a bunch of other stuff since then.
So he was part of the writing team on this. Basically had a team who would write like Marx Brothers style gags and jokes to follow along the storyline, and then somebody illustrated it, and it has a lot of background about the book itself and how it came together, but it's a really cool, funny, abstract graphic novel. Now, the catch is, I have a copy right here. It doesn't come out until March of 2019. But
why?
How did I get it? The same way you can get it.
Why is this not out now?
You know what, Scott? I'll tell you from firsthand experience, that's the book industry.
I know, it kills me.
I think I turned in my book, and it definitely did not come out until almost exactly 1 year later.
Yeah.
So that's what happens. But I got this at New York Comic Con. So if you go to a convention or a book convention or anything, the company Quirk Books is already out there selling this. So you may not be able to get it in a retail store, but if you go to any kind of convention or anything, I'm sure they will be happy to sell you a copy at the full retail price.
Are they New York based? Can I knock on their door?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Can I find?
I've got a card from somebody over there. I'll send you their email.
You know what to get me for my birthday next
that's
year.
That's right. It's super trippy. It's not like a standard jokey Marx Brothers movie. It's much more. It's much more out there because it's Salvador Dali. But they call it the strangest movie never made.
It reminds me of this is a rarity book. If you even could find this, Robert Anton Wilson, who wrote all sorts of trippy books, like around the, I don't know, like 70s and in that period. He wrote a screenplay called Reality Is What You Make of It that was never meant to be actually filmed. That was a mind-bending, kind of impossible script. And I've had it for years, and it just sits on my shelf, and I pull it down, I think about it for a bit. But that book reminds me of it. There's like five reasons why I love that book.
I thought of you immediately. I should have bought two copies.
Yeah, seriously. Anyway, I would have paid a premium for that book.
You've got a great selection here of actual real-world physical book gifts you can get for people. I think anyone who collects real books would love any one of these. And we are going to put all the links to them on the article associated with this video. So you can just go through there and click on them all. Add them to your collections. This has been super fun. I've been thinking about this for a long time.
Yeah,
I'm so glad we finally did this.
We should do more of these. Basically, what's on our bookshelves because the stuff keeps growing. But this is really cool.
Awesome. All right. Well, anyway, I'm Dan.
And I'm Scott.
And that's CNET Book Club for this year. We'll see you in 2019. Bye now.
Bye.